Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, praise team. You may be seated, everyone. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Awesome praise and worship here this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. While you're seated, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to pray as we get into today's message. And I pray that the Lord will help you to engage in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. We're ready to hear your word. And we know the entrance of your word gives, it brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We ask that that light will shine in our hearts this morning and give us understanding of what the Spirit is saying to the church. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, I can't hear you. Everybody says, praise the Lord. All right. We're going to get into the lesson. I want to speak on all kinds of faith and, all kinds of voices and the voice of faith. So I'll be speaking on all kinds of voices and also the voice of faith. Well, the voice of faith is one of those voices as well, but I want to just talk about all kinds of voices. I'm going to try to go through these very quickly, give you some scriptures and so on, you know. And we're going to see what are the different kinds of voices that are out there. Praise the Lord. And why is it important for us to differentiate between the kinds of voices that are out there? It's more or less like, you know, when you are, you know, trying to filter out some noise. You know, in the olden days, we used to have, these analog radios that you have to tune. And even with the digital radios, you still have to tune it to the right station. It just so happens that the digital tuning is more precise, and digital tuning can scan forward and find the next station for you. You know, but just imagine if you had to tune to the right station. If you are not exactly at the right station, you might hear what some people refer to as static, and you hear some scratchy noises and so on. It's not exactly clear. Well, you got to tune out some of those noises in order to be able to hear what the station is saying. So today I want to just quickly talk about, you know, different kinds of voices. And then we're going to focus on the most important voice, which is the voice of faith. Let's look at 1 Corinthians. And if they can help me with the scriptures, I'll move along faster. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I want to look at verses 7 to 10. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 7 to 10. It says, look, things that are without life that give sound, whether it's a harp or it's a pipe or even your tambourines, you know, they do make some sounds, you know, and they, you know, but except they give a distinction or a differentiation in the sounds. Well, how shall you know what is piped or harped? I mean, if you just play the same sound all the time, you know, you won't know the sound. And even the trumpet, you know, they use the trumpet for certain things. They can use the trumpet to and make announcements, announce that it's time to get ready for an assembly, call the people to war, call the people to festivity, I mean, make an announcement, alert that of impending danger. You know, when they blow the shofar like that, you know, it's for different reasons. You know, so, but if that trumpet, suppose you're trying to blow it for, you know, prepare for battle, but if it gives an uncertain sound, then who shall prepare himself to the battle? As ye, he said, if you don't order with the words from your mouth, you know, words that are easy to be understood, who shall know what you are speaking? You will just be speaking into the air. You know, so verse 10 says, there are, it may seem, many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. So there are different kinds of voices. So let's take a look at some of these voices today. There is, of course, the voice of fear. Let's just look at some scriptures, you know, about the voice of fear. In the book of Numbers, chapter 13, now some of these voices overlap. They walk together. Fear, unbelief, all these things, they walk together. So, but just let's just look at some of their characteristics. The voice of fear, for instance, there's a story in Numbers 13, and I'm just going to read verses 31 to 33. Numbers 13, verses 31 to 33. Now, in this story, the background to this story, you might know, Moses sent out some spies to spy out the land, one from each of the tribes and so forth, you know. And, you know, when they came back, you know, some people said some good things. A couple of them said some good things. The 10 of them said evil things. So here is what they said, the ones that reported, you know, the evil stuff. He said, the men that went up with Caleb and Joshua, they said, we are not able to go up against these people because they are stronger than us, you know. And they said, look, they brought an evil report of the land which they searched out. Said to the people, we've gone through the length and breadth of it. And what we saw was that the land through which we searched, it actually eats up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw there are men of great stature. And they said, look, we saw giants. You know, so giants, we saw giants there. And the sons of Anak, they were giants. And we, in our own eyes, we look like grasshoppers. So when, you know, because of what they saw, they were afraid. And they planted fear in the minds of the assembly that listened to them. So you can read the rest of the story, but I don't want to read all of it. There's other parts of this story that I will bring out. And in the same story, there is also, you know, the voice of discouragement. Let's go to the next chapter and read the first four verses of Numbers 14 and see the voice of discouragement. Now, when all the congregation heard all the bad report that these other 10 brought, they lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. They probably wept throughout the night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, and the whole congregation said unto them, would to God we had died. It were better we had died in the land of Egypt, you know, that you should bring us here to, you know, die in this wilderness. You know, I mean, they even said, look, it's better for us to have died in Egypt. It's better for us to have died in the wilderness. And what is this that you have brought up upon us? And, you know, why has the Lord brought us out of the land to fall by the sword here? And all of these things. Wasn't it better for us to return to Egypt? I mean, just murmured. And they said all kinds of things. Verse 4, you know. And give me verse 4. And they said to one another, look. Now, God said, go forward. This is the voice of discouragement as they go backwards. They said to one another, let's make us a captain and let's return to Egypt. We cannot go forward. We can't do this. So that's like the voice of discouragement. The voice of fear will tell you, you can't do it. You can't go up against those giants. You know, you cannot do it. I mean, these are giants, and we are grasshoppers, and we cannot do it. This voice of discouragement will tell them, look, it's better for us to go back. When God says go forward, voice of discouragement will say go back. There are other voices of discouragement also that may even come from people that are very close to you. When you're trying to get something done, you're on a mission, you're on a purpose and an assignment from God. You know, in the book of Matthew chapter 16, there is a story there, Jesus taking an opinion poll from his disciples. Say, what do men say that I, the Son of Man, am this and this and this? Finally, he said to them, what do you say? And Peter gave the marvelous answer. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commended him, said, look, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father is in heaven. And then he began to tell them that, look, there is something. You said I come, you know, I'm the Son of God, I come, but I come for a reason. And there's something that I must go and do. And I will go into Jerusalem, the chief priests will do this to me, and so forth. They are going to kill the Son of Man is going to rise his third day. And Peter, we're told, took him and began to rebuke him. He said, be it far from you, Lord. I mean, this kind of thing cannot be unto you. That's not your portion. You can't. The chief priests are not going to get you. They're not going to kill you. None of these things are going to happen to you. Now, that's a voice of discouragement, trying to discourage Jesus from the cross. You know, and Jesus was determined that he was going to go to the cross. But we see that Satan got inside of Peter in that one moment. But the Lord, he discerned it. And he said, Peter, he looked him right in the face. Peter, he actually spoke directly to Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan, told him, you know, and said, you don't know the things of God. You're only thinking about the things of man, you know, but you don't understand the things of God. And he rebuked him. But there was a voice of discouragement, trying to discourage him from going to the cross. Now, there's always the voice of unbelief. There's the voice of unbelief. There's a story in 1 Samuel chapter 17. It's a long story. We won't read it. We'll just read two verses of it. Verse 11 and verse 33. In this story, we see that, Goliath come out against, with the armies of the Philistines, came out against Israel. You know, and so here we say that when Saul heard the words of the Philistine, because he come out there and challenged all of them, look, there is no need for all of us to get in the battle and kill one another. You know, there's no need. Just choose yourself a champion. He will represent you, and I will represent my side. Just two of us. That's better than a lot of bloodshed. So, all you have to do is two of us can fight instead of everybody killing one another. And if this man should defeat me, we will give up. We'll surrender to you. We'll become your servants. But if I should defeat him, then you must give up, surrender to us, and be our servants. So he challenged them for many days. The Bible says that Saul and his children of Israel, when they heard the words of this Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now let's look at because they didn't believe the Lord. They had fear also in their hearts. Now let's look at verse 33 of this same verse, chapter. You know, so this is one of the things when David finally, you know, it's a long story here. I don't want to cut through all the story. When this David finally went, you know, to tell this man that, look, I can do this. The man said, Saul said to him, look, you are not able. That's another discouragement. See, they all work together. You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight against him because you are just a youth. You know, but this man is a man of war from his war. You know, now, Saul had no faith in the Lord. David, on the other hand, he had faith in the Lord. He said, look, you know, I've got faith in the Lord. I've been through situations that were impossible. When I was keeping my father's sheep, a lion came against the flock and took one of the little kids. But I went after him. I got in a hand-to-hand combat with the lion, and I took back what was mine. Hallelujah. And he said, the same God that did that will do it to him. I said, furthermore, hey, listen, I'm not finished. But the king tried to cut him off. I'm not finished. There was one more. Even a bear rose up against me, took one of the little lambs. I went after him also, and I fought the bear, and I got back what was mine. You fought the lion and the bear? Well, absolutely. I have some scars to prove it. You know, but see, he tried to tell them, look, I can do this. And they told him, you can't do it. You know, and David, he knew that the Lord was with him. David said, this man has come against the armies of Israel, the Lord. Whereas everybody else said, this man has come against the armies of Israel, David approached it in the spirit and said, this man has come against the armies of the living God. So he knew that he had faith. He knew that God was going to fight for him, you know, and so forth. Now, the voice of doubt. You can see that all of these things are intertwined. They work together. Fear, unbelief, doubt, discouragement. They are all together. Now, here's an example of the voice of doubt. In the book of Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 31, there is a story here, you know, at Jesus. Now, remember, Jesus is the Son of God. You know, if he comes there, the boat has left the station. No problem. I'm just going to walk on the water and catch up with the boat. Hey, you know, that's what the Son of God does. You know, there's no food. No problem. Just give me what you have. I'll bless it. I'll feed all the thousands. Doesn't matter with him. Somebody is dead. No problem. I call them out of the grave. It doesn't matter to him. He's the Son of God. Hallelujah. Now, At this particular moment, the boat had left the station. Jesus arrived, maybe a little late. They'd already gone, but no problem. I'm just going to walk on the water and catch up with them. So he's walking on water, catching up with them. They're afraid. They see the Lord. I say, wow. So I'll say, no. There's no need for you to fear. It's me. And then Peter, of course, he says, well, Lord, if it's really you, tell me, come on the water. And, then I'll know. And Jesus said, okay, fine. Come on the water. So he steps up onto the water. Hallelujah. And he came out of the ship, we're told. He stepped on the water. He walked on water to go to Jesus. Now, some people don't know that Peter actually walked on the water. People think that Peter drowned. No. or that he couldn't walk on water. Peter walked on water. I don't know how many steps he took, but he actually walked on water. And as long as he kept his eyes straight on the Lord, he was walking on the water. Hallelujah. But then when he turned around and saw the waves were boisterous, so I can't walk on water. But you were just walking on water. Keep your eyes on the Lord, and you will continue to walk on water. And he said, I can't walk on water. And then the next thing you do, then he started to, drown. And the Lord, he had enough sense to cry out. He cried out, and the Lord saved him. And listen to what the Lord said to him. Oh, thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So there was doubt that entered into his heart at that time. He said, you can't walk on water. Are you kidding? Look at all the waves. So he started to sink. But he cried out and the Lord saved him. So that's the, that's the voice of doubt. You doubt that you can't do it. Jesus called it out. He called it doubt right there. Now, here's the voice of despair. When people are giving up, they've lost hope or almost lost hope. I mean, they're in a state of almost despondency. It's like, look, I've tried so many times. I don't know that I can actually make it. Maybe it's hanging on to a thread. This story is in John chapter 5, right? We're told that there was this place where there was some pool of water and a lot of impotent folk used to gather there. Because at a certain time of the year, God sent an angel, troubled the water. And anyone then after that who stepped into the water first, after the troubling by the angel, he was made healed of whatever disease he had. So there was also this man. Praise the Lord. Let's read John chapter 5 and verse 7. Man who had an infirmity 38 years. So he was there. And so Jesus steps up to the man. He's seen him. He knows his condition. He sees him lying down on his bed like that. And he says to him, man, would thou like to be healed? Would thou be made whole? The man looks at Jesus and say, what kind of question is there? I've been trying to get healed, but I cannot get into the water fast enough. Somebody always steps in before me. So the man is almost discouraged. It's kind of like some people say, I can't seem to get ahead. Somebody is always getting that promotion instead of me. They're always getting that job which you thought was meant for you, and somebody else get. Nobody can get what was meant for you. Amen. If they got it, it wasn't meant for you. If it is meant for you, coming to you. Hallelujah. Nobody can get what God has for you. But sometimes we get discouraged. We say, I tried. I'm always this close, but not enough. And, this man said, look, I'm always this close, and somebody always getting ahead of me. Interesting story. But the Lord had to set him straight. He said, today, let's not worry about the angel. Because he was trying to tell Jesus the story. Well, we come out here every year. We don't know exactly the time, but it's around this time. We got to camp out here. You can't get in too quickly. You cannot get in too late. But whosoever first. He's telling Jesus these things. And Jesus already knows all of that. So Jesus says to the man straight, look, today, don't worry about the water and don't worry about the angel. Hallelujah. There's a lesson there for all of us, because many times we think the way that God is going to do it is the way he did it before. And it's not always the same way. God can do it any different way he wants. He might have used the angel before. He might have used the water before. But today, maybe he wants to do something new. Hallelujah. Let's not put God in a box and think that the only way I'm going to get my healing is if I go to this certain place and this particular pastor or prophet prayed over me. That's the only way I'm going to get my healing. Well, that's the same as the angel and the water. Amen? Because you think that that's the only way that God can do it. But Jesus told the man, today, I'm right here. Never mind the water. Never mind the angel. Never mind all this. And did you ever consider that the Bible said that there was a great number of impotent folk in that place? A lot of them. But Jesus only went to one person. And what happened to all those other people? They were still waiting for the water and the angel. That's what happened to them. They kept on waiting for the water and angel. Jesus wanted to show us that, look, a lot of people might be waiting for the water and the angel because they are only looking in one place, but Jesus can be right here doing something new. Hallelujah. And when he's doing something new, all those people were still waiting for the angel. Maybe the angel eventually came, but only one of them will get it, and the rest of them will go home disappointed. But Jesus tells you, look, that was the mercy and grace of God to give you that, but there's something new right here, right now. Don't worry about the angel. We don't know when he's coming. Maybe he'll come tomorrow, maybe next month, maybe next year. But right now, right this moment, I'm right here. Hallelujah. You know, so let's not worry about, you know, you say, well, I'll be healed when I go to that next revival, when I go to that next crusade, by that next great man of God, and so forth. He's got a crusade in Wisconsin. He's got one in Chattanooga. He's got one over here. I'll go there and I'll be healed. Well, Jesus can heal you right now. Hallelujah. Don't need to worry about that one. That's just the mercy and grace of God here and there. But the Lord is Jehovah Shammah. He's ever present. You don't need to go here. Jesus said, look, neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem. You know, the time is coming. You don't need to go seek for God here and there. God is right here. Hallelujah. But anyway, the voice of discouragement. This man was discouraged. I can't make it. Somebody always getting ahead of me. Jesus said, today, we're going to change all that. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, let me talk to you also about the voice of reason and the voice of logic. Now, this voice of reason is the one that is most subtle of all these ones. Some of these ones are blatant. They are like in your face. Come to you and say, you can't do that. Nobody ever done that. You can't do that. You know, so they are right in your face. And then if you are discerning, you can discern it sometimes. But the voice of reason, it's very subtle. And let me tell you how it works. There's a story here in the book of Genesis chapter 16. Give me verses 1 and 2. In Genesis chapter 16. Let's look at this story. You know. Now, there was a promise that God had made to Abraham in the earlier chapters. Chapter 13 and so on and so forth. You know. And God had been encouraging Abraham to do some things, walk before me, do all of these things and so on. I'm your shield and all that. Verse chapter 15, gave him that promise. Now, then we find that here, Sarah says to Abraham, look, I'm getting old. Now, this is the voice of reason. Can be very subtle. Look, we've been waiting for this promise for a long time. We don't know how long we're going to wait. And Abraham said, look, the Lord said so. Yeah, the Lord said so, but I'm getting old. Look at me, you know, and look at you even. look at my handmaid there, you know. Why don't you go into my handmaid? Read verse 2 and see what it says. Say, look, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. I'm old. You are old too. This is not going to happen, you know. And Abraham should have said, this is not happening. That's what Abraham should have said. When he told, go into my maid, Abraham said, no, that's not happening. I'm staying right here with the word of God. But you know, sometimes the way women can put pressure on the man, you know, put pressure on him, put pressure on him, put pressure on him, put pressure on him. Until finally, but see, the way she was coming at him is like, look, you know, God can still do it this way. I mean, look at me. I'm old. You are old. You know, maybe, you know, I can have children by her. I mean, it's still God. I mean, after all good and perfect gifts come from above. If I have the children this way or I get it that way, it's still from God anyway. You know, so just reason through it, you know, like that, and just put a little something there. Voice of reason. The voice of reason. Well, even the devil, the old serpent, he used it in the beginning. Come to Eve and say, "Hey, mama, how you doing today?" Say, "Well, you know, I'm all right. You know, stay away from me." Say, "Oh, come on now. You know, I just have a chat. You know, I'm just visiting here." You know, has God actually said, I see that you are looking at that tree. Well, has God said that you shouldn't eat of it? Every one tree in the field, don't eat of any of them. Has God said that? Say, well, you know, God said this and that. Well, she couldn't actually remember exactly what God said. He said, well, I'll tell you what. You know, the God already knows that if you get a hold of this thing, you will be wise. You'll become like God. And he began to reason with her, you know, and began to put, you know, something in her to discredit God's integrity. You know, God already knows you're going to have this knowledge and he doesn't want you to have it. Think about it. You know, wouldn't you like to have knowledge like God? You know, so that old same spirit come out there that said, I will be like the Most High. You know, I will ascend to the most, to the sides of the north. Same spirit come out there, talk to her, and she began to reason with the serpent. I don't reason with the devil. Praise God. Well, you know, that's where all this mess in the world that we have today came from. But here's another voice of reason. When people think that something cannot happen, just can't be. There's a story in 2 Kings chapter 7, and I love this story. So, Syrians, Samaria, you know, all the, I mean, they come out there, they cut off this water supply, cut off everything, they put everything in a hold. So they can't go out of the city, they can't buy anything, they can't do anything. All the things they have inside the city finished. They cannot get more supplies. Supplies cannot come in, they cannot go out, you know, and so forth. So finally, Elisha one day, had enough of this. He comes out there, makes a bold declaration. 2 Kings chapter 7, let's look at it. In 2 Kings chapter 7, Elisha comes out there and says something. Tomorrow, by this time, something is going to happen in this land that you will not believe. Things will be so cheap because you are going to get the supply for free. Normally, you have to buy it and then sell it. So you have to buy it for this price, put a little on it and sell it for that, you know, and so forth. But tomorrow, you will have everything for free. You will be able to sell things for free. They will be so cheap. People will be able to almost give it away. And he was giving all these things. You know, it's like, and there was a man there who was like, you know, he could have been the captain of army hosts or whatever, chief of captain of the hosts or something. Bible called him, you know, someone that was close to the king. So he come out there, said, you know, the king always leaned on him. So he was right there, like vice regent. He was right there, leaned on his advice, whatever he said to the king. So he come out there and said to the man of God, come on now. This thing, how can this thing be? You know, how in the world can, and I've given this example before. I know I've given it here in the church before. How can the Lord do this thing? You think about the most expensive thing that you have, that everybody has. The example I gave once was like gasoline. If gasoline is, let's say, $4 or $5 a gallon today, Elisha could have come out there and said, tomorrow, you are going to buy, you used to buy 1 gallon for $4 or $5. Well, tomorrow, you're going to buy 10 gallons for a nickel. That's the significance of this prophecy. It was so outlandish. I mean, it's like, you know, so this man said, look, even if the Lord would open the windows of heaven, whoever heard of such a thing? This thing cannot be. You know, so you start to put reason to it. Look, this cannot be. How in the world between now and tomorrow, there's only, this time tomorrow, there's only 24 hours between now and tomorrow. How is this kind of change going to happen overnight? It cannot happen. Even if the Lord opened the windows, it can't happen. So he said, okay, well, it will happen, but you will not eat of it. Hallelujah. Because you don't, if you go against the word of the Lord like that, you're the one that's going to lose. The word of God is going to come to pass. Hallelujah. And so if you read the rest of that story, you know the word of God came to pass. But that's not my story today. So let me give you a review of all these voices that we have talked about. Negative voices. There's also the voice in your head that comes to you sometimes of unforgiveness, bitterness. All of those things are wrapped together. It's, look, are you going to put up with that? Are you going to let them say that to you? Come on. You got to stand up for yourself. You're going to let her say that to you? You're going to let him talk about you like that? So the voice will come to your head. These voices come to your head. Nobody is immune from these voices. Your reaction. You see, you cannot prevent the voices from coming. Nobody, not even Jesus, was immune to these voices. I tell you, Peter spoke to him. The devil spoke to him. Said, look, aren't you the Son of God? Turn these stones to bread. Jump off over the cliff here. Bow down for me here. Nobody is immune to these voices. These voices will come to you. There's nothing you can do to prevent the voices from coming, but you have control over your reaction. Hallelujah. That's what you have. Like I say, you cannot prevent the birds from flying over your head. There's nothing you can do about that. They are going to fly. But if they want to land on your head, that's a different story. Praise God. So birds fly all over all the time. Okay. But you are not landing on my head. You can fly in the space, but I'm not letting you land on my head. So when voices come, you can determine how you are going to react. You can give in. The voice of unforgiveness and bitterness and the root of bitterness can spring up inside of you. The purpose is to trouble you. Make your heart so troubled. Make your spirit so defiled that it's like you are in a gall of bitterness, basically. And you can't, your prayer can't go anywhere. But it comes by a little thing. Just sow a little, thing in there. So a little thing. A little voice. There are also some other external voices of discord, tale bearers that will come to you, tell you something that does not concern you, and it does not concern them either, about somebody else. These are tale bearers. What do you need to do? Frown and send them away. Amen. that's what the scripture says. Don't even listen to that stuff, because when I sow a little of that stuff, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So enough, discord in there, tell you something bad about some brother or some sister, which is of none of your concern to start with. It's none of their concern. They're just tail bearers, and then they sow a little thing. All these things get in your head. Deal with it. Send them away. Hallelujah. Don't entertain these negative thoughts. But the ones I've called out today, I've called out the voice of fear. I've called out the voice of unbelief. I've called out the voice of discouragement. I've called out the voice of doubt. I've called out the voice of despair, trying to, just give up, I've called out the voice of reason and the voice of logic. Try to make logic. God is not a God of, that is subject to logic. So I try to make logic. He said, well, it's not logical. logical or not, that's not how God operates. Praise the Lord. So there's all these voices. There's the voice of unforgiveness that means, in another scripture, it calls them the little foxes that spoil the vine. There's these things that are over there and so forth, destroy your walking with God, Now, this point here is about how these things can destroy your faith. But there's one voice that I want us to talk about for the next 5 minutes or so. It's called the voice of faith. So the voice of, there's all these voices that we have talked about, but there's another one called the voice of faith. And the voice of faith always has an answer. You will have an answer for all these negative things. Praise the Lord. Well, let's see some characteristics. I don't have time and I don't want to make this very long. No, let's look at some characteristics of this voice of faith. In this same story, one story that we read that has many voices there, the story of them spying out the land. Let's look at the voice of faith. We've seen the voice of fear and the voice of unbelief and discouragement in that story. But let's see the voice of faith. Numbers chapter 14. Give me verses 6 through about 9. Now, this is the voice of faith. You know, Joshua was one of the two men that responded differently. Joshua and Caleb. The others responded one way. Here's what Joshua said. Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, you know, they also were among those that searched out the land. When they heard all this negative report, that people said, we want to go back to Egypt and so forth, they rent their clothes. They cried. They said, look. So they stopped the people. They said, look, the land that we passed through. Now, this is the voice of faith. The land that we passed through, unlike what they said, swallows up the inhabitants, is actually an exceeding good land. Next verse. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into the land and give it to us. Now remember, this land is flowing with milk and honey. We saw it. In fact, we brought some of the fruits of the land. Only rebel you not against the Lord. And don't fear the fear of the people. That these people are bread for us. We'll have them for lunch. You've heard this idiom here in America. Say, we'll have them for lunch. That's where it came from. They are bread for us. We're going to have them for lunch. Their defense is departed from. This is the voice of faith speaking. They all saw the giants. They all saw the difficulties. Some people chose to focus on the negative. The voice of faith chooses to focus on the word of the Lord. The Lord told us he will give them to us. And the voice of faith will dispense with all those things. Don't fear them. Don't even worry about them. The Lord is with us. Their own defense departed. Well, you know, choose you which one you will say. Will you give in to the voices of fear and unbelief and all these things, or will you let the voice of faith rise up within you? Praise the Lord. The voice of faith will not be deterred. It will not be discouraged. It actually defies logic. You know, now, it will hold on to the word of God and it will confess it. And it can do a lot of things. That's a beautiful story in Abraham's posture. You know, how he told his people that around him and his friends and everybody, say, I will be the father of nations. And they laughed him to scorn. You can't be the father of nations. You don't even have a child. But I will be the father of nations. And that was his response every time. And he changed his name to even prove it. He said, look, from now on, you call me Abraham. Because I will be father of many peoples. You know. And if they called him Abraham, his old name after that, he wouldn't just respond. I was like, they called him Abraham said, what is my name? Tell me my name. My name is Abraham. Because I will be the father of nations. You don't have a child. Look at our own children. We don't even call ourselves father of nations. You don't even have a child. How in the world are you going to be the father of nations? Well, because the Lord said so. Amen. That is the voice of faith. And that's your response. The Lord said so. Now, the voice of faith will not give up. It will, you know, I mean, there is a story in Mark chapter 10. Give me a story from Mark chapter 10. Verses 46 to 52. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. Can you give me that from the back? I'm waiting. You know. So, this is a story of a man that would not give up. He was blind. He had heard that Jesus was passing by. And when he was crying out, the people told him to shut up. Be quiet. But he cried out the more. You read this story. He cried out the more. And the more he cried out, the people tried to stop him, Then the more, he cried out even the more. And he would not be silenced.
Praise the Lord.
This man would not be silenced. Read the next verse. Show us the next verse and then the next one after that. Show us the next three verses real quickly. This man would not be silenced. He cried out. When he cried out, have mercy on me. What did they say? Show us the next verse quickly. The people charged him that he should show this peace. But he cried out the more. And he keep on crying. He would not be silenced. So finally, his voice got across to the crowds and caused Jesus to stand still. You know, the voice of faith will cause God to react in your direction. Jesus stood still and looked for that man, you know, and then said, wow. And you can read the rest of the story. Eventually, the man was healed because he would not give up. Even though people told him to shut up, be quiet, and so forth, he would not give up. He kept on doing what he needed to do. There's a story in Luke chapter 18. Give me Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. A different kind of rendition, you know, for this story, you know, and they would not be denied. They will not give up. You know, and the voice of faith will not give up. They will find a way around the difficulties. Like the centurion, he will find a way. Say, well, all you got to do is just speak the word and you'll be fine. Or the Syrophoenician woman, she will find a way. When Jesus said, I can't do that. I cannot give children's bread to dogs. The voice of faith will not be denied.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, the children may eat the bread, but the crumbs that fall belong to us, who may, you may classify as dogs, but that's good enough for me. And the Lord said, wow, I've never seen so. There's a few times that Jesus was wowed by people's faith. It wasn't his disciples. Most of the time, Jesus was not impressed with the faith of the disciples. How come you have no faith? Why is it that you are doubtful? These are all the things. But occasionally, you find great faith. No, I've not seen great faith. No, not in all Israel. Find great faith here and there, because those people would not be denied. And they would not, you know, give up, you know, and so on. And the voice of faith will cause angels to go into action. Praise the Lord. Now, you can read the story of the Syrophoenician woman in Matthew chapter 15. But I don't want to spend a lot of time. I'm trying to close it out. I'm looking at the time. You know, so she would not be denied. Despite all that, Jesus said, look, it is not good for me to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. The woman said, yeah, you know. He said, well, of a truth, Lord, you know, but the dogs will eat the crumbs which will fall from the master's table. Now, that's the voice of faith. The voice of faith will not be denied and will not give up. Jesus told many stories. I will just paraphrase them now because of time. He told many stories, you know, of how faith will be relentless. When you're asking the woman that went to the judge, the wicked judge, you know, Jesus was telling these stories and giving us examples in Luke 18. Told of the wicked judge, the woman that came and said, avenge me of my, you know, my adversary and so forth. And the judge said, I don't care. Get her away from me, you know. And then she come back again. She asked the same thing, you know. And the man wouldn't do it. But the woman would not be denied. She would not stop. She kept asking. Praise the Lord. Scripture says, ye that make mention of the Lord, give him no rest until he complies. That's right. Give him no rest, you know, but you've got to ask according to the word of God. But, you know, keep on asking. And Jesus said, this woman, finally, the judge said, look, I really don't care about this woman. And, you know, I don't care about God either. I don't care for justice or equity or, you know, anything. But the only way to get rid of this woman, otherwise she's going to wear me out, is to give her what she wants. You know, and Jesus said, wow. Hear what the unjudged just said and see the effect of the voice of faith that would not be denied. Praise the Lord. The voice of faith will cause angels to go into action on your behalf. One of my favorite verses in Psalm 103, verse 20. Give me Psalm 103, verse 20. Praise ye the Lord, ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And if you know how to put voice to God's word, you will cause the angels to go into action, because all they respond to is God's word. When they hear God's word coming out of your mouth, and you say it like God said it, it will cause the angels to go into action for you. Now, the angels, you know, they are sent out to minister on your behalf. And the only way for you to actually influence them to move is for you to speak the word of God, because that's what they respond to. You angels, they have their commandment. You can't tell them anything. You just said, I have my orders. You know, Joshua, he saw the man, you know, he said, look, you got a sword in your hand, so it looks like you are ready to fight. Are you on my side, or are you on the side of our enemies? You tell me, go right now, let's go. Because Joshua was like that. And the man said, look, are you on our side or on the side of our enemies? The man said, no. No to both questions. I have my orders. I came as a captain of the Lord hosts. That's how I'm come. You know, so you can't command them to do anything. But when you speak the word of God, they respond to that word. Praise the Lord. You know, that's right. You know, the Lord has his council meetings and he says, look, the devil comes to the Lord and say, you see, they're not believing anything. You know, and you don't have the right. Because the devil, he knows the ordinances of heaven. And he said to the Lord, look, you do not have the permission to do anything for them, because they are not believing you. The Lord said, we'll see about that. She'll come around and she'll declare my word. She'll come around. And the Lord will go say to some of his angels, you go down there. Make sure she comes around. You know, they have different roles. Sometimes the angels are sent to make things a bit tight for you so that you can come around. Sometimes they are sent when you are coming around to make sure and see to it that what you are saying is coming to pass. They have different roles. So the Lord says, ah, see, now she's declaring my word. Bring one of those strong angels. You go down there and make sure you see to it that what she is declaring comes to pass. You move everything out of the way and make sure it comes to pass. That's the faith of, that's the voice of faith. That's the results it gets with God. You know, because, you know, there's so many voices that are reaching out to God. The only one that actually gets God's attention is the voice of faith. Hallelujah. That's what God responds to. Not just some crying and some stuff. It's not that God is not callous. I mean, callous like that. But look, that's how things work. Faith. By faith, God did all these things that he did. And so, by faith is how you're also going to reach out to God. And let us learn today to sift out different things. When your friends and your family tell you, you can't do that, find out that it's one of these voices. It might be the voice of discouragement, but it will sow a seed in you and you begin to think, yeah, you can't do that either. But says who? Your response from the voice of faith should be, says who? Who says I can't do that? I can do all things, sir, through Christ that strengthens me. Philippians 4 and 13. I can do all. When somebody says you can't do that, you say, yes, I can. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the voice of faith. And if you have enough faith and you know how to use it, you know, God will show you things that you didn't even know before. You know, he'll just start showing you things. Why? Because he said, he that hath shall be given more. And he will have more abundance. But he that has nothing, well, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. But when you begin to have faith and begin to use it, God will show you even more things that you can believe God for. You know, just like Enoch would say to Adam, what meaneth those cherubims that are there with all these lights? And say, well, you know, I told your brothers and the rest of them the same story. You know, we can't go in there. Why not? Well, this and this and this. You mean you had all that power? You could talk to animals. could do all these things, and yet you are just here now? Well, yeah. I mean, but what are you going to do about it? You know how children ask a lot of questions. This one I'm asking from his great-great-grandpa. You know, what are we going to do now? I said, well, nothing. It's too late, son. We're just waiting to die. Waiting to die, but the voice of faith says, we'll see about that. Adam said, you cannot go in there. The cherubims are there. It is closed. It's over. We're just waiting to die. And this man, something is in him said, well, we'll see about that. You know, and if I'm not going in there, whatever is in there is coming out to me. Hallelujah. And he proposed in his heart that he's going to walk with God. He's going to keep pressing in until he finds the source of something that he needs to find. Didn't know exactly what he was looking for, but he knew that something more than just waiting around to die. Hallelujah. And I guarantee you, he found it. Till this day, Enoch is not dead. Because he did not sit around to all those negative voices that were just waiting to die. That's all. You know, it's too late. He did not sit around and listen to that. He believed something else. And God showed him mighty miracles. Hallelujah. God even showed him the Christ coming, 10,000 of his angels. 10,000, I mean, of his saints. There were not even hardly hundreds of people on the earth at that time. How did he see all those things? Because when you are walking with God in faith, he'll begin to show you things, show you even more things. Call unto me, Jeremiah, 33 and verse 3, and I will show you great and mighty things which you know not. I am going to stop here for today, and I want us to pray. I want you to stand to your feet. Let's pray. You can yield to all these negative voices, or you can take a hold of the voice of faith. And you can say that it's the voice of faith that will be my guiding light. You will only respond in faith. When the devil tells you you are sick and you are going to die. You know, how many of you know how the voice of faith responded? Hezekiah. The prophet told him, you are sick and you are going to die. That's even a prophet told him that. What did Hezekiah say? Well, we'll see about that. And he went to God and said, Lord, you know how I have walked before you. And I'm not dying. And he did not die. Praise the Lord. You respond with, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. The Lord said, I'm healed, and so I am healed. You respond with, I will be the head and I will not be the tail. And any negative thing, and we are going to pray, and I want you to lift up your hands. And I want you to be rejecting all those negative voices that are coming to your head. Some of you are trying to do something remarkable for yourselves, and the devil tell you you can't do it. You remember the last time you did it, you failed. Remember your neighbor did it, they failed. Remember that person, they had that sickness and they died. What makes you think you are any better? Well, I'm not any better, but the Lord said so. Hallelujah. And the voice of faith will say, but what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? I'm not responsible for what happened to others. I'm only responsible for my reaction to the word of God. Now, so let's pray. I want you to reject every negative voice that has come to you, concerning your children, concerning your husband, concerning your grandchildren, concerning your future, concerning your career, concerning your finances, everything. All the negative things. They say, you can't do it. You cannot make it. You will die. You will not be healed. And all these things and so forth. Today, let the voice of faith arise. And let the voice of faith say, the Lord said so. I believe it. And that settles it. Now, Lord, I pray that faith will rise in the hearts of your people. Now, faith must be based upon the word of God to make it to be valid. And as you speak the word of God in faith, we are told that the angels will hearken to that word. They will go on your behalf and they will carry out missions from God. God, the Lord already gave his charge to them. When you hear them declaring my word, you go into action and see to it that it come to pass. Now, what is it that you would like to declare for yourself today? Think about it for a minute. But we want to take advantage of the presence of the anointing of God. Now, every service is different. There's anointing here for you to believe God. And so, when you declare, I will believe with you. The Bible says that all you need is one more person that will believe God with you. You don't need a whole bunch of people. One person. If two of you shall agree as touching anything that they shall ask. Hallelujah. I have permission from the Lord to agree with you. In as much as what you are asking is from the Lord. If it is according to the word of God, then I agree with you. If it's not according to the word of God, I have no part of it. But if it is according to the word of God, hallelujah. Then let's believe God together. Lift up your hand one more time. In the name of Jesus. Declare it. Declare it. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 and 26. Put me in remembrance. Tell me what I already told you. Tell it to me again. That you might be justified. So declare it for yourself. What is it that God already said? Declare it for yourself. And I agree with you in the name of Jesus. I agree with you. So it is spoken. Numbers chapter 14 and 28 says, as you have said it in my ears, in that same story we read, so I will do unto you. As you have spoken in my ears. So say something in God's ears today. Say it. Let him hear it. The Lord says, as you have spoken in my ears. That's why you should never speak any negative thing. As you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you in Jesus' name. If you say, I am healed. Well, the Lord says, you are healed then. Praise God. If you say, I am above only and not beneath. The Lord says, well, you are above then. Hallelujah. If you say, look, just say it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you say, the Lord has made me joyful mother of children. Well, you are a joyful mother of children then. If you say, I'm the father of nations. Well, God says, well, you are the father of nations then. Whatever it is. If you can say it in my ears, I will do it unto you. Hallelujah. What you say, and if you say the negative thing, well, unfortunately, so will it be. So let's cancel negative things out of our mouths. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Lord, hear the words of your people. And hear the words that I, in the message of the Lord, have spoken today. And you said in your word, I'm reminding God what he said. You said in your word, I am the Lord that confirmed the counsel of my messengers. Praise God. So we have given counsel to your people today to discard the voices and the negative things and to speak the word of God. And as they speak this word, even you are hearing this morning, so let it be in Jesus' name. And everybody says, well, let the loudest amen be the first to receive their miracle. And everybody says, amen. Praise the Lord.